So he was first arrested in 1963 for and convicted of a murder of a deputy in East Baton Rouge. And not surprisingly, as a young man who was charged and convicted of killing a deputy, he got the death penalty. And then that trial was overturned for matters that had something to do with the racial climate at the time. Since they didn't go for the death penalty in the second trial, his only option was mandatory life without parole. And so he's been in Angola since 1969.
This case that'll be heard on Tuesday, Montgomery versus Louisiana, asks whether people like Henry Montgomery, who were already sentenced to life without parole as juveniles, can now be offered parole. That's in light of another Supreme Court ruling in 2012 that said juveniles cannot get mandatory life sentences, Miller versus Alabama. So what did that case do and not do?
So in Miller in 2012, they ruled that no juvenile can automatically get a life without parole sentence. Adolescents are more likely to change. They have a really great capacity for change. And so Supreme Court said that they were banning life without parole sentences, automatic life without parole sentences, because it was considered excessive punishment under the Eighth Amendment. But the people who were already serving time for that sentence, it was a little bit unclear on. The reason why the court is taking up Henry Montgomery's case is to decide whether it should be retroactive. Some states have said, yes, we consider it retroactive. Other states, including Louisiana, have said, no, we are stopping at the present day. The writ that was filed by the state of Louisiana says that they feel like they can't reconstruct whether Henry Montgomery was impulsive at age 17 when he's 69 now. And they don't know how to reconstruct that case and look at his youth when he's no longer even close to youth.
You talk a lot in this piece about the criminal justice climate in which he was arrested and then convicted. How would you describe that environment at that time?
I think it's really hard to, well, you know what? It's both hard to understand and easy to understand in terms of the Black Lives Matter movement right now. People talk to me over and over again. These are old men I was talking to and for the story who are now in their 70s and who were picked up as part of a manhunt that picked up a few hundred people just to investigate. They had roadblocks everywhere, kids coming home, walking home from school for lunch, found themselves having their houses searched and then on the ground. Each of them talked about growing up knowing that if they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, they could be picked up and charged with a crime that maybe they didn't do, but just they fit the bill and they could go off to Angola, period.
And the bill, meaning the description, was what exactly?
A black man.
Tell me a little about Henry Montgomery as a person. What did you find out about what his life has been like these past many years that he's been in prison?
Writing about a prisoner who's in prison is almost like writing an obituary because you cannot, according to prison rules, you can't go in and talk to somebody about their case. You talk to everybody around them to see what they're like. With Henry Montgomery, that's a very quiet life. There's almost nothing to be said. In a certain way, someone described him as almost reclusive. He is somebody who has a very low IQ. His lawyer describes him as what they used to call a slow learner. His lawyers never pled him not guilty. They pled him innocent as a result of insanity. Even once the Supreme Court decides, once it issues its decision, there's a question about what will happen to somebody like Henry Montgomery. Will he go before the parole board and they will say, we don't think you should get out? I mean, the parole board in Louisiana doesn't let a lot of people out.
Katie Rechtel with The Lens, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.